From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
So let's talk about Baylor.
The more I read it, I understand why they were hesitant to let this stuff out. There's been talk all season long about where Art Briles might end up. There's zero chance Art Briles coaches major college football again. It's official that he knew.
These things have sort of leaked out as we've gone along. The whole Art Briles running around on his little tour trying to drum up support for another job. I thought that was pathetic at the time. I think it's beyond pathetic.
Yeah.
Jerome Solomon joins us. This little sideline thing that Bill O'Brien pulled and then completely tried to act like it didn't happen. This guy is kind of a petulant little, you know what.
Trying to do my best not to just slam a guy for being who he is. But I will slam you for being who you are and not owning up to it. You can't come back the next day and act like, oh, yeah, ha, ha, ha. No, ass.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed any of the first 2 hours, lots of good stuff at podcastarena.com. At some point here in the next couple minutes, we'll take you over to the actual broadcast when they start telling us who the teams are. 832 says, O'Brien would smash Fred. Get real. Yeah, why? Because he's had to be held back on the sideline? Yeah, he's a real tough guy. He went to, because he played football at Brown. I'd be willing to bet money we had a hell of a lot more talent at Lamarck than they had at Brown. Get out of here. I would take that dude easily. Especially, you know what? I'll fight him for charity. Let's do it.
Would you?
Yes. I'd kickboxing for charity. I'm in.
I would like that.
Do it in the off season. I'll start training now. I'll roid up. I will beat his ass. But he won't. He doesn't want any part of that. I'm probably the only one he'd fight because I'm older. You think he'd get by with that?
Greg Cook's pretty old.
Yeah, Greg is real old. Yeah, he might fight him.
Yeah.
But
I think Ted and Seth, that's probably the most intimidating guys he would come across.
Yeah, he wouldn't mess with them.
Those guys look pretty tough. I don't know what ND's looking like these days. How's his bod right now?
A little soft. Hell, I'm a little soft right now, but it would take me all of 2 weeks to get ready. I don't even need to be in that great of shape to beat that guy up. Are you kidding me? Unfortunately, okay, we're going to cut to it right now. Here are your college playoff football rankings.
Florida State is, so not necessarily perhaps as bad as just your average 23-loss team ranked at 22nd. Okay, Baylor is sitting there at number 17. You were looking for the Big 12, Joey. Yep. There's two of them.
Three
of them, including Oklahoma State. All right, so Utah is sitting there at 16. We continue the countdown.
Utah, Washington's best win, obviously, too.
Yep. I wonder how much that will play into it. Okay, Colorado out of the Pac-12. Michigan has a win over them. That could be impactful once we get higher in the rankings. LSU has Alabama this weekend. They're at 13 and the highest-ranked Big 12 team.
What you saying,
is
Daddy?
Oklahoma.
What about Penn State sitting there at 12, much higher than they are in the AP poll? Obviously, they're looking at that Ohio State win and giving that team a lot of credit for it.
And yeah. I noticed somebody that's not in this list, more importantly. Just thinking about Auburn.
Well, they're going to be in the top 10.
That's going to be coming up. It's going to be in the top 10.
Yeah, Penn State, to Danny's point, is 8 spots higher in the selection committee rankings than they are in the AP poll. So we're already seeing some differences in terms of the evaluations of the team. So there you have 11 through 25. We'll bring in Kirk now.
Come on, let's keep going.
I'm with you. What happened?
I'm locked in here, man. I'm ready for some more.
Kirk, anything 11 through 25 that jumps out at you? Penn State obviously getting a lot of respect, largely because of that victory against Ohio State, I'm sure.
Oklahoma sitting there at 6-2. I think they were at 14. You know, just thinking best case scenario for the Sooners, the team that I think, at least I feel like, is the team that's going to go on to end up winning the Big 12. If they ran the table and finished at 10-2, if there's a lot of chaos in front of them, how quickly could they jump? Reese, you touched on it. In these first couple years of the playoff, we've seen teams come from in the teens, I think 15, 16, and make a run. So that's Oklahoma. If there's chaos, you know, they're still a team to look out for in the Big 12. And then I you know, Penn State, that is impressive. And if you think about it, Penn State still mathematically has a chance if things can work out. An example, if Michigan were to lose at Iowa City and Penn State and Ohio State were to win out, it would be a head-to-head with Penn State and Ohio State. Penn State could theoretically still get to a Big Ten championship game. And sitting at 12, man, that's a shocker to me. That's great news for the folks in State College, but great to see them all the way up at 12.
You know who it doesn't shock? The people who put together our strength of record metric. They have Penn State at 13th, performing 13th best against the schedule relative to an average team. Let's look at the top 10 now, and I think very soon David's going to see some of the teams he was thinking about. Nebraska only with the overtime loss on the road against Wisconsin last week and playing Ohio State this week. Mike Riley's team at number 10. Just ahead of the Cornhuskers, there's Auburn.
Significant. Think about their losses. I mean, everybody kind of shook their head at Clemson week one when they
lost. Looked terrible.
They didn't look great. Yeah, they didn't look great against Auburn because Auburn's defense made them look bad. And then you're talking about Auburn quarterback. They played three or four quarterbacks
Auburn
that game.
Terrible that night.
Yeah, they looked horrible.
Auburn looked terrible.
But how does the committee handle that? A team like Auburn that looked terrible in the beginning, Clemson beats them. They also lose to Texas A&M in that stretch of games where we couldn't figure out what they were. And now they are a top 10 team. How much credit do you give to Texas A&M for beating them and Clemson for beating them early on when they didn't look very good?
Can it not be? No. But I think that's part of the reason they didn't look good is you play good teams that make you not.
Well, that and eight quarterbacks will do you.
Yeah. That offensively, but defensively they didn't miss a beat. They've been playing great defense regardless.
Well, I think that's part of the art and the subjectivity that you like with the playoff selection committee in that they can evaluate first, if they beat a good team, but they can also take into consideration what was that team when you played them, because this notion that teams don't change over the course of a three-month season is not accurate. Auburn has clearly changed, and they're a top 10 team. Wisconsin sitting there with a 6-2 record, two tough losses against Michigan and Ohio State, and they played well in both of them. Badgers still on their side, have a chance to win their division and perhaps be able to go on and win the Big Ten. At number 7. There's Louisville. Now, last week on game day, you were touting Louisville in the top four, and then they were fortunate to escape Virginia. Have they changed? Has that changed your estimation of Louisville?
Yeah, I'm willing to forgive a fluke one-timer. Like the Duke game, you say bad weather, they didn't get up for it. But when you do it again to Virginia, again, we're measuring you against these other teams that are great. Then you showed me your weakness, and you showed me you're not ready to play consistently. And so I'm fine with Louisville sliding down because of that.
I think it's clear-cut, too. They're looking at the resume, too. When you look at the wins, the Florida State win doesn't look as impressive as it did before. And, yeah, you have Lamar Jackson.
Okay, do you look at that win, though, and go, look how they dismantled
Florida State? They've done a lot of those, too.
That, to me, warrants at least a one win.
Absolutely, but where's their next win? That's the problem. Where is it? That's what I'm getting to.
And sitting at number 7, that pretty much tells us that Louisville won't have a chance to come up from there unless the teams ahead of them lose because the resume, it won't hold. Well, and they better hope the Florida State doesn't.
That's another thing.
No.
I think more importantly, who's behind them? Because people behind them can also catch.
That's right.
That's what I was saying.
Kirk, do you agree that at least initially, and I understand everything can change. We're at a starting point here. But this is not the best news in the world for Louisville sitting at 7 to start with the way the rest of the Cardinals' schedule looks?
No, not the best of news at all. And I think it speaks volumes as the committee evaluates them. When you're playing inferior teams, it gives you an idea of the margin of error. Because all the metrics that the committee, as they're evaluating and looking at things, that's one thing. But if you just look great, the way they looked when they played those teams early in the year, Syracuse and other teams, when they were just scoring every possession, Lamar Jackson was, it wouldn't matter about the metrics. You would just say, I don't care who they're playing, they are dominating people. But all of a sudden, the Duke game, and all of a sudden, the Virginia game. All of a sudden, there's a crack in the armor as far as you can no longer just say, boy, their only loss is at Death Valley. I still think they're one of the best teams when they start playing the way they do against Duke and Virginia and the rest of their schedule, because it's going to be inferior opponents. They got to be careful because it's not just about winning. They've got to go out there and blow people out to send a message to the committee.
They missed a big opportunity to do that. Not that really people were locked in on the Virginia game Saturday, but once it looked as if the Cavaliers were going to pull the upset, then everybody was paying attention. They had a fourth down play. It came about that close from getting deflected.
I don't know how it went through.
I don't either, but that's the margin of error, and that's what the committee is able to do and look and see how games are played.
Let's get right to the top six now.
Let's see. We'll start the number one team in the initial rankings by the selection committee.
is Alabama. That is to be expected. Crimson Tide also number one in the polls. The number two team, according to the selection committee, is Clemson. Clemson getting a huge mark for their big wins, the Auburn win, the Louisville win, the Florida State win on the road.
Those are good teams. I know they've had some nail-biters this season, too, but those are really
quality,
good teams that they also
wins.
Beat.
Yep.
The strength of schedule for Clemson is top 15 in the country. The team sitting at number three, I guess, would be Michigan. It is. Michigan's strength of schedule is down in the 50s. Michigan has a good win over Colorado, good win over Wisconsin. But in terms of the rankings, it doesn't quite match up with the other two.
They've looked good in their other way.
They've looked good in every way.
Yeah, they have not had those nail-biter games against an inferior team.
Well, Colorado they pulled. Yeah, but they pulled away late. And they missed
it. It was good for a half. And then they put their foot down. Michigan has looked as solid as anybody in the country right now.
I agree. Okay, so we have three teams vying for that number four spot. First rankings again. Nobody's overreacting here. Undefeated Washington coming off the road win against Utah. Didn't help the strength of schedule that much. Ohio State, maybe not playing its best ball at the moment, whereas Texas A&M has the highest strength of schedule ranked by pretty significant margin, and their only loss coming on the road at Alabama. And
Washington has looked darn good in their eight wins.
Yes, they have.
So let's see what the committee thinks. At number four is Texas A&M. So for the third straight year in the first rankings, there are at least two SEC teams in the top four. Washington is just ahead of Ohio State at number six. So,
okay. Well, no offense, Aggie. That's garbage. I mean, Washington has beaten the snot out of everyone that's been put in front of them. Good for A&M. I mean, and that's, I imagine that'll be difficult to maintain, but regardless, I think that's a slap in the face to UW.
Well, are you surprised? We'll talk about it when we come back. There's plenty to get to here. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I did think of two more people who could take O'Brien. Lamont mentioned Raheel. You said he's a lot smaller. He's really not that much smaller. He's smaller because he's not as fat as O'Brien.
I was going to say, like, from a weight standpoint.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's
about height, though, and quickness.
That's probably 30, 40 pounds.
Though. And I'll take Granato over him, too. I think Granato could take him.
Really?
I think that'd be a pretty good matchup, actually.
Man, I feel like maybe you're underselling.
No, I'm not.
OB.
I've seen him up close. I could take him. I'm not worried about it.
All right.
I'm not in the best shape right now, but that dude ain't in the best shape either. And I know I can take a punch. I don't know if he can.
All right.
Let's get to these rankings, because the more I look at it, I'm going to go with as of today. I don't think it's that embarrassing to have A&M ahead of Washington.
Oh, I do.
Give me Washington's best win.
Utah.
And what is Utah's record?
6-2, I believe.
And
what's A&M's best win? Auburn, right?
Yeah,
6-2.
Yeah, also number 9 in the country in this thing, which is much better win.
They got the same record, though. I mean, so
no, but my point is,
they've got a better record.
Here's my point before you jump in here. Pac-12 is way down this year too, much more so than the SEC West.
Agreed.
And I mean, there's not a single team in there besides Washington that you look at and say that's a signature win.
So
Stanford's not a signature win anymore.
No, it's not. But if that's the case, wouldn't you expect them to go in and kick everybody's head in?
Yeah, but they haven't. I mean, they barely beat Utah. They barely beat Arizona, both road games. So they haven't kicked everybody's head in. They've kicked in the heads of Idaho, Oregon State, Oregon, who's not good this year. And Stanford is their one win at home, where you look at it and say, wow, they kicked the crap out of them, but now we see Stanford's not very good. I think, and there's not really any way they're going to help themselves, because beating Cal, that's not going to be a great win. USC's playing better. I think that's, I'd give them credit for that, but I don't know that the committee will. Arizona State, eh. At Washington State, well, Washington State might be as high as 15 then. So as of today.
Well, let's just say, okay, let's say Washington State does get up to 15. That Stanford team that is apparently a junk win now, Stanford's loss to Washington, Washington State, and who was their other one? Colorado, who's ranked 15. So, I mean, does that sort of, does that make the Stanford win useless now? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying useless, but it's just not, it's not a great win.
It's not a signature win. I'll give you that.
And that's the thing. You look at it, and you just look at the schedule, and you go, well, who blows you away? And if you're going to fault A&M's only loss for being at Alabama, well, okay. And, I mean, if
Alabama's, you want to talk about barely wins, how about barely winning at South Carolina? How about barely winning at against Tennessee? I mean, these are barely wins.
But to me, Tennessee is equivalent of Utah, equivalent of Stanford.
How is Utah? I mean, Utah,
Tennessee was rated higher than them most of the season. The reason they're down now is because they lost to A&M and to Alabama.
Stanford was ranked seventh when Washington beat them.
But then look what they've lost to. I'm telling you, Tennessee's losses are better than Stanford's.
They lost to top 25 teams.
Yeah, in the Pac-12, which isn't very good. I'm okay with it right now, actually.
Tennessee just lost to South Carolina, Fred. They're not in the same category as Utah.
They're not now. They were playing better football earlier in the year, though. And I think they would. If you put Utah and Tennessee on the field right now, that game's close. It's going to go one way or the other. So, I think they're in the same place as them. Problem is, I think A&M's got two problems here. Ole Miss and LSU. I think even though they have them at home, and I know Ole Miss isn't playing well right now, but that's a team that can give them fits. And they've never beaten LSU. So it could get taken care of itself. I would still have, if I were going to put somebody in the four that doesn't have a loss, I would still put Louisville. But I think they're really looking hard at that, the fact they barely beat Virginia.
And Duke. Yeah, it's happened a couple times, like Herbstreit was saying. It's not as...
They haven't been dominant enough.
I like Louisville a lot, too, but I've seen chinks in that armor lately. But, I mean, like I said, A&M had them earlier in the season, too, when they were barely edging South Carolina. They struggled with South Carolina. They struggled with Tennessee.
Yeah, well, you say that they barely edged them. They beat them 11 points, and they left half their team at home. So, I mean, I'm not going to fault them for beating South Carolina 24-13 without Myles Garrett and without two of their top offensive threats.
South Carolina's basic. I mean, they're,
that was a free throw, and they knew it, and they treated the game that way.
That's fair.
The Tennessee game, that one, they should have beaten that team by two touchdowns. They fumble the ball going into the end zone. Thankfully, they didn't, because I had Tennessee to cover 7.5. They let them back in the game. They shouldn't have. I think the Arkansas win, the Auburn win is obviously the signature win.
Right.
And now everybody, Auburn would beat them now. Well, they don't get to play them now. That's
and let's also remember
up.
At the end of the year, Auburn's going to have three losses. At least.
Most likely, yeah.
So is that win going to be as great then? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be three losses to three pretty good teams.
But if you look at the way they're doing this, I mean, are they going to fault them much for a loss to Alabama?
I don't know.
It depends on how it is. If they lose three,
clearly losing to Alabama doesn't punish you much.
Yeah. Well, but I kind of think that's fair. I mean, you've been saying all along, as have I, there's one and then there's everybody else.
Yeah. The other thing is, I guess I would argue that the second best team that A&M has beat, probably, what, Arkansas?
Arkansas. See, that.
I mean, is that it? Is it Arkansas?
Arkansas, I would say, Arkansas or Tennessee, even though Tennessee coming off the loss doesn't look as good, but I would say that it's between those two. And UCLA is a good out-of-conference win. You know, they had their quarterback early. But their second best win will be LSU or Ole Miss.
Here's the biggest disadvantage I see for A&M is at the end of this, if let's say they both win out.
Well, I think if they both win out, Washington's going to pass them because they'll have a conference championship
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
And they will have won a conference, and they've said all along that a conference is more important.
A team that wins their conference, a team that goes undefeated and wins their conference is going to get – they're going to get in over a team that didn't win their division and lost a game.
And even with the Pac-12 being down, and having said this, I, as of now, I'm telling you, I'm okay with A&M being ahead of them. But at the end of the year, if it plays out exactly the same way they both went out, can't take A&M over them. They didn't even win their division. And even though they were second best to Alabama. Now, what I think would be interesting, well, I don't think Clemson's going to lose now, right? There's no way Clemson loses from here.
I mean, they could lose in the championship game, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got nothing left, really, that will threaten them. It's going to be if North Carolina can beat them in the championship game.
Yeah, I don't think they can.
But I've also, Clemson to me is very – Clemson got lucky to beat Auburn. They got lucky to beat Louisville. They got lucky to beat Florida State. They got lucky to beat North Carolina State. I mean, this team has luck-boxed too many wins for me to say they're just going to keep on rolling.
See, I had Washington second in my rankings ahead of Clemson, and I had Michigan ahead of them too.
I think I still had Michigan second in mine.
I still think Ohio State, Michigan, one of those has to get in before you take a second SEC team.
Well, I wanted to I wrote down the top 15.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you're outside the top 15 right now, then you've got no hope. But I came up with 12 teams that I feel still have a chance to make this playoff.
Okay.
And I want to go through them and see if you agree with that or not.
We'll do that when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.
Tune in for the Aggie Coaches Show with Kevin Sumlin tonight at 7 o'clock.
RJ tweeted out the Vegas rankings. Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Ohio State, Louisville, Auburn, Washington 7, LSU 8, A&M 9, Oklahoma 10. And, of course, people, how can Auburn be ahead of them? Because Vegas looks at what the spread would be now, not
right.
Who's better. I mean, it's a different animal.
So, of the top 15 teams, I think we can, in my opinion, 12 still have a chance to make the playoff.
Okay.
Some of these are long shots. I scratched three out of those top 15 off. One was Penn State.
Yeah.
They're number 12.
Yeah, they're no shot.
One was Oklahoma, a two-loss team.
Boy, I'm going to give them like a – the only way I could see them getting in is if you have some kind of weird collapse in the Big Ten. And you wind up with two lost teams because they will have won more late. But we're talking like less than 1%.
What bell cow wins will they have, you know?
Well, they will have run the table in the Big 12.
Which says nothing. It's the worst Power 5 conference by far. So I scratched them off. I mean, I guess you can make an argument for them.
I'm not saying that they have a chance. I'm saying, though, I would not scratch them off because I could see a scenario, but it is like a doomsday, everything goes to hell scenario.
I scratched off Colorado at 15.
Yeah, they don't have a chance. Although they may play in the Pac-12 championship game.
But two losses, it won't be enough.
Right.
So that leaves, and you can tell me if I'm wrong on these. It leaves Alabama, obviously, Clemson, Michigan, Aggie, Washington, Ohio State, Louisville, Wisconsin, and granted, Wisconsin's pie in the sky. They would have to win the Big Ten.
Right.
And they'd have two losses, but a Big Ten.
But they're high enough ranked if they
win. A Big Ten champion with two losses, they would have a win over Michigan, Ohio State. That would probably get them in. Same for Nebraska, Auburn, Florida, a one loss Florida team.
A very sneaky team there to keep an eye on. Although,
I mean, they've got one loss, and if they win the SEC, if they beat Alabama in an SEC championship,
yeah, they're in. Although they still have to play Florida State too. So.
I'm not. Yeah, again, this is. Yeah. I'm saying everything falls their way.
Yeah, if they win out from there, they're in.
They have on paper a route that would lead them to make it. Is what I'm saying. And I think this one's a little bit pie in the sky too. But LSU at 13, I still give them sort of a chance to make it.
Well, they still have. They still have Alabama left.
Mm-hmm. And they have A&M left.
And with one loss, if they beat those teams.
And I think LSU beats A&M.
Very well could.
I mean, LSU's playing better
football
right now.
It depends. By then, it depends on what LSU has to play for. If they get housed by Alabama and suddenly you're looking at three losses, I don't know that you'll get the same LSU team you'd get if it actually meant something to them.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm trying to make a case for somebody else.
I mean, I don't think you can. I mean, beyond 15, you're getting into Utah, Baylor, who again.
Now, see, Baylor wins out, though.
I mean, even if they do, they've got a loss to a team that's going to be probably sub 500.
But again,
and they played in a terrible conference.
You start getting two lost teams up there, and now they will get
their best non-conference win will be SMU.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, there's no way the committee's going to reward them. No way.
You need. Well, they need. They need a lot to happen.
Yeah,
but I. Because the problem is, I just don't see Clemson losing at this point, so I think you have to give them a spot. I could see Alabama losing, but I still think they're in. And it'll be like it has been the last couple of years. They could lose to Auburn. They could lose to LSU. They're not losing both of them. And if they don't, they're in there. And then I think it's either Michigan or Ohio State or Wisconsin. I'll throw that three-horse Big Ten exacta box in
or
there.
Or again, Nebraska if they win
well,
out.
Yeah, I guess so. So that leaves... Realistically, Washington, if they went out, Louisville, Aggie, Auburn, Florida. Yeah, about the ones you have.
Okay.
LSU.
And you give Oklahoma a bit of a chance. And
I don't. Honestly, I think if you want to be perfectly honest, I think you can go down to about eight right now. Because I think you can.
I mean, listen, for Florida to win out and beat Florida State and Alabama is unlikely, but they've still got those games scheduled, so it's possible.
Right. But I think...
And if they win all their games, they're in. Basically, I'm giving you a scenario where if these teams win out, they have a chance to make it.
Well, let's do it a little more realistically, which teams actually can win out and do that. Because I don't think Wisconsin at 6-2 has really got a chance.
Okay. I agree with you. So then my list comes Bama, Clemson, Michigan.
Washington.
I mean, I guess Ohio State. That might be my list.
Well, there's a chance. Well, I think whatever happens with Ohio, Michigan State, or Ohio State, Michigan, if let's say Ohio State wins that and you've got one loss Ohio State, one loss Michigan. Then Ohio State loses the Big Ten championship game to a three-loss team. Then Big Ten's out, I think. So that's where you would see.
They're going to have a hard time keeping the Big Ten out, though, I feel.
That's
the second-best conference, if not the best conference this year.
I think it'll be hard to keep them out because I don't think all that's going to happen.
Right.
But if it does, that's your path for A&M or Louisville.
There are five teams from the Big 12 in these initial five teams from the Big 10 in the top 12 in these initial rankings. So almost 50% of the top 12 is from the Big 10. The Big 10 is very respected by this committee this year.
Yeah, well, it's pretty obvious that they're looking at Big 10 and SEC.
Yeah.
And giving them a lot of, and that's really what they should be doing. You can basically say adios to the Big 12.
You can look at the top 13. 10 of the top 13 are Big 10 and SEC. You've got Louisville, Clemson, and Washington. That's the outsiders. 10 of the top 13 are from those two conferences. I mean, that's a statement.
I would say the reality is, well, I think it all comes down to can Washington run the table. If they do, because I'm pretty sure Clemson's going to run the table.
I think Washington has the best road. I think they're the most likely to run the table of any team remaining.
That at Washington State's the only game I can look at. And
probably, that's a tough game, but relative to what everybody else has?
Yeah, but that kind of gets back to...
Maybe you could make an argument Clemson has an easier remaining schedule.
Does.
It depends on if you think North Carolina... And Washington will have to play somebody from the Pac-12 South.
Maybe Utah again. Maybe Colorado. I guess SC still technically has a chance, but you're already going to play them.
No, Utah's in Colorado. They're in the North, so they'd be looking at playing.
No,
Colorado's not in the Pac-12 North.
No. I was just reading on this the other day. Who could win the divisions?
No, okay. Well, I stand corrected then.
Yeah,
Colorado is in the South. Okay. Colorado, Utah.
Physically, Utah's in the north.
Colorado, Utah.
Utah,
USC are the only ones I think that still have a chance to win that division.
Right. Colorado's 4-1, Utah's 4-2, and
but Washington would be a probably a touchdown favorite over any of those on a neutral
field. Well, we just saw at Utah they were 10-point favorites, which was too much. But
I'm with you. I think Washington State's probably their toughest game at Washington State. And then their
game.
Pac-12 championship is next. But I think those are all very winnable.
I'm not really worried about the Pac-12 championship if they get that far. I mean, the pressure will be on because they have to win to get in the playoff. But the team that I think would give them the most trouble is USC, and they will have already played them, and they'll have three losses in, so I don't see them getting in. It's going to be Utah or Colorado, and I don't think Utah can beat them. And I think they played the best possible game at home and couldn't beat them. And I don't think Colorado's good enough to beat them. So, yeah, this game at Cal's tricky. Cal can put up points, but I don't see him losing it. I mean, Cal's defense is terrible. Washington's going to score a ton. Yeah, that's pretty much it. USC, I think that's it. That's the one chance.
That's an off chance. Even.
That in Washington State. Well, if USC shows up and plays like it has at its best, and they've got the talent to play with them. They just haven't. How often have they done that? They've done it lately.
I think at this point, though, it's going to take a Washington performance that is substandard for them.
But everybody does that.
They do.
Every team does it, and it's who you do it against
and how they play that day.
And the thing about USC, okay, they clocked Arizona State after starting 1-3. Barely beat Colorado, clocked Arizona at Arizona, beat Cal 45-24. Nobody in there except for Colorado you look at and go, well, yeah, you were supposed to beat them. You get Oregon next and then at Washington. So if they beat Oregon, they should beat Oregon. If they don't beat Oregon, they ain't beating Washington. So that's the one team I'd be a little worried about. They're playing better football.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Dick's Sporting Goods. If you haven't gone out to check out one of these new Dick's Sporting Goods that opened up a couple weekends ago, you're missing out. 10 new stores, 6 different locations all around the Houston area. Willowbrook, Deerbrook, The Woodlands, First Colony, and then Katy and Baybrook have 3 stores in one building. Dick's, Field & Stream, and Golf Galaxy all under one roof. So whatever your sport, whatever your hobby, whatever your level, they've got you covered. If you're into mountain biking, they got that. You're into backpacking, hiking, no big deal. Fishing, kayaking. You just want your basic workout clothes. You want to go get some gym clothes, get some yoga clothes. They've got that. If you want to do Bikram yoga, they've got those clothes too. So great. Those clothes can cure cancer. You wouldn't believe it. They've got all the team sports stuff too. Footwear, apparel, every athlete's need under one roof. And the Dick's Sporting Goods stores are the first of their kind in the whole country. They picked Houston to open them up in. I really recommend you go check them out. The stores are really amazing. You'll be blown away, especially when you compare it to the competition here in town and the competition that just left town because Dick's was coming in. To find more about the new Dick's stores, visit dicks.com/Houston and get out to one of these Dick's Sporting Goods stores today, now open in Houston.
ESPN 97.5. Com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Thauer and A.J. Hoffman.
Download the ESPN 97.5 app available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN97.5.com. Before we give away our Bedrock City Comic Company gift card and T-shirt, it's a guy, I don't know why I still follow him, I guess, because I used to have him on my Yahoo show, Mark Passwaters, who covers the Aggies for Rivals, tweeted out, very simple now, A&M holds the cards. You win, you're in. As much as I'm okay with them being number 4 right now.
I don't know that's as simple as that.
It is not that simple because
because if everybody else wins, I don't think they're in.
No, I think a 13-win Pac-12 champion undefeated is getting in over A&M.
They have to.
Yeah.
They have to. Otherwise, the whole committee, it's a farce.
And I think one of the reasons they do this, and they did this a lot with the first ones, they put somebody in there to get people talking about it. They know
maybe
that
so.
It's meaningless right now, but we're talking about it, and we're going to talk about it next week. All right, John, did you pick a winner, sir?
Yes, I did. And the winner goes to Alex on Twitter. He says, hashtag supervillain, the Bill Belichick with the power to send Jamie Collins to hell on earth. That wins the $25 gift card to Bedrock City Comics and a free t-shirt.
It's a pretty good one. There were a lot of good ones today.
Yeah, they were.
We should have saved a few for next week when we have some ones that suck.
But Alex, good job with your tweet.
John says, would definitely have Washington in over Michigan. That's the only change I'd make at this point. To me, Michigan is, there's no way you could move Michigan out of the top four. Michigan has wins over three top 15 teams right now. They beat Colorado, which that's their close win where they won by 17 points.
Yeah, they dominated that game, and that was, and I think Colorado has improved since then, but still, that's a good win. At home, though.
They beat Penn State 49-10, and they beat Wisconsin.
Yeah, I just don't think Penn State's that good, which is why it surprised me. Which has really surprised me that they were able to beat Ohio State, but
at the end of the day, all of what Michigan has done is going to mean nothing if they lose at Ohio State.
Can I throw one little bit of water on Michigan?
Okay.
You know how many road games they played this year?
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michigan State was the last one.
When the Michigan State game was happening, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. They play, and their only other one was Rutgers that they beat like 80-0.
Yeah.
So they.
You were wrong. 78-0.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was close.
Yeah. But again, though, other than the Wisconsin game, and Michigan State was close, but I don't think it was in doubt. They've done what you're supposed to do, which is destroy teams.
Yeah.
And so if you're at Penn State, even if it was at home, you blew them out. Colorado was a pretty easy win.
To me, Bama and Michigan are the two that you can't argue against. I think the other, even Clemson, Washington, I mean, you made a good case against Washington. I think there's a case to be made against Clemson, although their wins, even though they haven't impressed, they've got Louisville win, they've got the Florida State win. It's hard to argue them, but just watching them, I don't think they're that good. I don't think they're one of the four best teams.
And
Bama and Michigan have given you no reason not to think they're amongst the four best.
But here's the thing, as much as I made a case against Washington, I'm making their case against Washington. I'm making A&M's case.
Gotcha.
In my rankings, I had them second. I have Washington second. I think they belong in there. But I don't fault them for putting A&M fourth. And I just because I do think you can make that case. And that's why these things are so subjective, which is fine. But the committee that's actually making those decisions, I think you can defend A&M being in there. I think when it plays out, it's not going to matter. Because even if everything plays out, if Michigan goes undefeated, Clemson's undefeated, Bama's undefeated, and Washington's undefeated, A&M's not getting in.
Which, by the way, that would be the first time since we've been doing this playoff that it worked out that way.
Right.
That there were four unbeaten conference champions, which would be glorious if it were to happen.
That would be awesome.
And not only would it be glorious to see, but it would justify something that I've been saying so far since this playoff has been committed. We haven't needed it. Because there's always been a top two that deserved it, and this would be the first time where there's four deserving teams, and it's a good thing that they have that playoff system, because otherwise two deserving teams would have been left out.
Yeah, although the first year you would have thought Ohio State didn't deserve to be in there, and they knocked the crap out of Alabama.
I'm just saying, based on what they'd done through the regular season, this would be the first time that they filled the spots with what at least according to the regular season were deserving teams to play
for a
title.
Let's take it a step beyond that, okay? We're pretty sure Clemson's going to win out.
Pretty sure.
Alabama's in even with one loss over A&M, right? No doubts?
As long as they win the SEC,
yeah,
yes.
Which I'm assuming they'll do.
If their one loss is the SEC championship?
No. That's a little different animal.
That's different.
But one loss Michigan in over A&M, one loss Ohio State in over A&M. Champions, right?
If they're champions.
So, yeah, I don't think you can say...
Although, if it's Michigan, I don't think they could be... Because Michigan's only reasonable loss. The only loss that would be acceptable is Ohio State, and it's the one loss that would keep them out of the Big Ten championship game.
Interesting stuff. All right, well, I didn't mean for the whole thing to be college football that hour.
I love it. I love that.
It was kind of fun. I enjoyed
that discussion.
All right, we're going to be back tomorrow for What Are the Odds Wednesday. Great job, John Lee. Great job, AJ Hoffman. Great job, ESPN. Guess what's coming up next? Kevin Sumlin Show. The A&M Coaches Show at 7 o'clock. You're number 4, Texas A&M Aggies. I'll give myself a D today. See you guys tomorrow. Stay sports, you bitches.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.